Hello, welcome to episode 4. My name is Sammy Ju at the Baptist Day Convention of North Carolina. We have Pastor Jacob here. It's so good to have you, Jacob.
Thanks.
Well, in the past episodes, we're talking about your personal life and your ministry, and we got to know more about Korean-American history and Korean-American second generation and first generation here. Now, I really want to hear from you, what you want to say to first generation pastors and second generation leaders in mm-hmm. general. You, in the past episode 3, you mentioned that your first generation pastor is very, very supportive of your ministry.
Yes.
Right. I've seen a lot of churches going through some conflict between first generation, second generation pastors. Mm-hmm. And some first-generation pastors are not really trusting second-generations, or second-generation pastors are not really respecting. And mm-hmm. so I really want to hear from you. If you have a chance to speak to first-generation pastors, what would you say in terms of encouraging Asian-American ministries in their churches?
This is being recorded, right?
Yes, it is. Yes,
of course, it's a podcast.
It'll be publicized everywhere.
Okay. Yes. I honestly think first generation pastors take a lot of flack from second generation pastors. I think, in all honesty, I think just to, for lack of better words, I think a lot of us second gen guys have daddy issues. We kind of grew up with parents that were trying to adjust to American or Canadian culture that were very, very ingrained, obviously, as they came as full-grown adults mm-hmm. to a new place, different language, different customs, a different focus on what's valuable, even. Mm-hmm. And they come here and they try to do their very best. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the times it doesn't mesh as well as, well, me as a child growing up would have liked it to. The way that the parenting worked versus the way that my Caucasian friends were parented,
yeah.
The freedoms that they had, the type of car that their parents drove, right? Those types of things.
Yeah.
And so I think a lot of second-gen guys, we grow up with chips on our shoulder. And so immediately there's a lot of defensive backlash. Reactiveness mm-hmm. Towards the action of many first-generation pastors.
Mm-hmm.
In general, I know there's a few bad apples out there, just like with anything.
Mm-hmm.
In general, I think most first-generation pastors want the second generation to succeed.
Mm-hmm.
They love on their children. They love on their grandchildren. They want to see young people in the church.
Mm-hmm.
They want to give us their blessing,
mm-hmm.
for the most part. Mm-hmm. I mean, again, there are a few bad apples out there, but mm-hmm. we're not talking about that. I think just in general.
Mm-hmm.
So for first gen, I just really want to say, hey, you know, continue on in faithfulness.
Mm-hmm.
Know that the Lord is working, and mm-hmm. the mission field is still really ripe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the people that come to North America mm-hmm. with no place to go,
yeah.
and if the church's doors aren't open, mm-hmm. right, then what's going to happen?
Mm-hmm. Right? Right.
That's one of the best times where you can reach into someone's life
mm-hmm.
and share the gospel
mm-hmm.
And raise them up as disciples
mm-hmm.
right, when we're in that mode of searching yeah. and looking for belonging.
Yeah. Right. Wow, that's encouraging to hear. So for first-generation pastors, you want to really encourage them to keep up what they do.
Yes.
God is bringing the nations continually. You still have a lot of things to do.
Yes.
Now, what would you say to second-generation leaders? Because I've heard that some churches are looking for second-generation pastors,
mm-hmm.
leaders for their English ministry and mm-hmm. all of that. But in North Carolina,
yeah.
it is very, very hard to find
yeah.
a full-time or even part-time mm-hmm. second-generation pastors.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm just suspecting that some second generations do not want to step up to be a pastor or leader because it's not really affluent place.
Mm-hmm.
They can be an engineer, they can be successful anywhere. So maybe there must be a fear of something. But what would you say to second generation in general, second generation seminary students or pastors who still have like kind of fear of first generation pastors who are fear of being a full-time pastor, and what would you say?
I think a lot of it is, you know, calling, really calling. It's one of the reasons why I, just my personal life, I did not want to become a pastor was, you know, I was terrified of public speaking, and but I also knew that pastors were poor. And it wasn't until I could really let go of those dreams of driving like a nice, you know, sports car or all these other things that, you know, I was...
Nice skateboard.
Yeah, nice. Well, skateboards were kind of cheap. So broken bones, those types of... I never broke a bone skateboarding, though. No, come would. But, you know, just really, really focusing on the call. You know, what does that mean to drop everything and follow?
Yeah.
Obedience.
Yeah.
Both you and I know that just how many times you have to swallow your pride to be an effective pastor.
I like that. Yeah.
It's true. a day-to-day thing. Yeah. It's something that I struggle with, laying it on the table and saying, "This is yours, God, not mine." Mm. I'm going to stop defending myself. But just to really kind of get over that type of issue, those types of issues of, you know, my life, my way, and saying, God, this is your life. Have it your way.
Yeah.
We do. We really need gifted young pastors in the church. And sometimes I'm a little bit hesitant to even use that word gifted. Yeah. What do you mean there's non-gifted pastors? Mm. Well, yeah, actually there are. It's terrible. We just lost half of our viewing audience. I'm sorry, Sammy. But it's... No, it's important to know that, hey, wait a minute, God's wired me in a certain way. I'm able to exposit and preach in such a way where people around me are interested. A fire lights in their hearts, and they start to understand. It's by the Spirit, obviously, but it's a gifting.
Yeah.
Right? And if you have a gifting, then follow. Right? God gave it to you for a reason. I really hope that, you know, we get people that did. I mean, and this is a bit counter. I don't want to puff up education, because I know how sensitive a topic it is to Asian Americans. It's an idol to so many. It is, just being really blunt about that. But I really do. I hope we get the best and the brightest in our seminaries. Just you get some guy expositing the word of God in that way, and preaching it, and relating it to cultural issues in our society, and meeting these people where they need to be met, or coming up with strategies for missiology. It's just the potential there. It's crazy the way that these kids are trained.
That's great.
I'm hoping that we can get a lot more of them.
So you see the great potential among second generation Asian Americans, even in the theological field,
definitely.
Missiological field.
Yes.
We need more second generation leaders to really consider, go really deeper with their God-given gift in terms of really developing, you know, in the theological area and the missiological area. That's great.
And it's not just you know, the God-given gift of doing well in school or whatnot.
Yeah.
It's just like this very, very strong emphasis on education in Asian American culture. And it's not just Koreans. It's like across the board.
It's across the board.
And that whole tiger mom phenomenon.
Yeah.
I say we use that. Because it opens up doors.
Yeah.
Graduating from Harvard opens up doors. It does. I mean, and it speaks back into a culture that values education. And I say we use every tool in the arsenal. To make disciples of all nations.
Yeah.
And, you know, so if you've gone to, you know, a school, and if you made it into the dream school, and 99% of these kids, they get into their dream school and they realize, hey, wait a minute, this wasn't the dream. I'm just an average kid now.
Realization.
Or some of them, you know, I'm below average now. And they're like, oh, I was at the top of the... That was my identity, and now I'm crushed.
Coming to their senses.
Yeah, but just realizing, hey, wait a minute, maybe God sent me here for a different reason.
Yeah.
And I really hope that, you know, people will be brave enough to follow, and also for first and second generation pastors in the church, and I think you and I, we had conversations about bivocational ministry, but that needs to happen. It does, because not every church can support a full-time pastor.
That's true.
But being open to those types of things as well, right? Not saying that that's the only way, definitely, or you and I would be out of jobs. But at the same time, you know, there are people that are wired in that way.
Right. Yeah.
And can flourish in that way, and I encourage them. I also encourage, and this is not a shout out for Southeastern Seminary or whatnot, but if there's a seminary in your area, you know, go for it. Get that extra education. It's not that it can't happen in the church, but there's a difference between sitting under my or your teaching, listening, just taking it in and going, oh, okay, and telling your friend about it, versus sitting under a professor and being graded. there's a big difference, right? There's that accountability. You got to dig deeper and really, really make sure, hey, wait a minute, this is what it says, and this is what I've dug even deeper into what it says, and those types of things. And you know, it is. It's a lot of work and investment, but what else would we... Seriously, what else would we invest in?
Yeah.
There's no greater thing. And so I would just really encourage a lot of young second-gen guys, and third now, they're coming up.
They're getting old. Right. Third generation.
But yeah, pursue that. If the Lord opens up opportunities, go for it. I think it's a good thing.
That's a great point. I think there is a great need, as Asian population is growing phenomenally in North Carolina. There's a different need.
Yeah.
What do you see the essence of disciple making among Asian Americans?
Both you and I and 99% of the people that will watch this know it's relational.
Relational.
Yeah. It has to be centered on the Word of God.
Centered
on the Word. You know, it's great to go out and just break bread together and whatnot, but if we're not focused on growing in God's Word together and telling other people about it, then what's the point?
Yeah.
Right? Because these relationships, they're pretty terminal. I mean, definitely we'll know each other in heaven. But it's so much more to it than just that. You know, it has to be kingdom-focused, kingdom-minded. You know, why do we have these relationships? And we have these relationships so people will know who Jesus Christ is.
Yeah.
For propagation of the gospel. For growing in the Word, for encouraging one another, exhorting one another.
Yeah.
Those types of things. I really hope that, you know, there needs to be that relational, they have to get along.
Yeah.
A lot of things, commonality really helps. One of the things that we struggle with at our church is we have a lot of young ladies, very godly, very gifted, very hungry for growing in the Word and growing in Christ.
Yes.
But we don't have very many female mentors in the English ministry.
Okay.
There's a lot of reasons for that, but that's just the way, that's where we are right now. And so we're like, okay, do we use this guy to mentor? And then it's like, oh, then there'll be one on one to do this. And then we're Asian, we're traditional, and we're Baptists.
Yeah.
Can't get away with that, and so there's all these kind of logistical things. But you want to find people that you get along well with. There's commonality there, and you don't have to be like, oh, I grew up in the same neighborhood as that person did, or you know, I like the same type of food. But there's that commonality there. And I think that really helps. And I think that's one of the reasons why the immigrant church does well. Is there's that common experience of growing up in a culture that draws and binds people together. If it sticks in the culture and it's only about the culture, then I see major problems.
Right.
But if the culture is used as, once again, another tool in the arsenal.
As an instrument.
Then there's just limitless potential, like we talked about before, about the sending people back overseas to their mother nations. I mean, the potential for that is just crazy.
That's right.
And just all the other stuff, all the giftings that do come with culture, I think it'd be a terrible mistake just to kind of throw those things out and pursue multiculturalism just for the sake of being multicultural.
Okay, yeah, that's good. Now, what's your future vision for the next 10 years or 20 years? How do you want to serve for the kingdom of God?
We were joking about this. Is just stay alive for my sons. All the stress that keeps coming. You know, both you and I know whenever we do a work for the kingdom of God, Satan rears his angry head. He roars around like a lion. And honestly, part of it is, you know, I just want to survive. It might sound kind of crazy, but, you know, I just seen...
Two-year-old son.
I've just seen so many things happen, and pastors fall, and, you know, fall into sin, and... say they're faithful when they're preaching faithfulness but living faithlessly. There's a lot of temptations just to survive in that aspect as well, and be faithful. Once again, I think it's seasonal. I mean, I might be lacking vision for the future, but 10 years down the line, I have no idea where I'll be. I have no idea where I'll be. I do hope I'll be done my PhD by then. I do hope to teach in a seminary or in a Bible college, because I think just directly interacting with seminarians in that way over the course of a semester is different than speaking at a conference or a podcast. Or we have great gifted people in our church, but not all of them are called to be pastors. Right? So just to, those are my hopes. I hope to be in the area. I hope our church is in a new building again. I hope that we continue to grow and that our young people will stay in the church. I hope we'll find a youth pastor very soon. But, you know, that's speculation. I don't know where we'll be in 10 years. I just hope that I'll be faithful.
That's good. Well, thank you for your honesty and thank you for being practical. My last question would be, what are some books that you want to recommend for second generation Asian Americans?
I think work by Sharon Kim. She wrote it's called A Faith of Our Own. A Faith of Our Own. It talks about second generation Korean spirituality, and it's just amazing stuff. She's another person that I hope to interview. Again, these people, they don't respond to my emails. Who's this random guy? The Bible, obviously. Make it your life. Make it your life. You gotta study it day in, day out. One of the books that really impacted my view on scripture, my view on theology, C.S. Lewis and Your Christianity.
It's a classic.
A lot of books by John Piper. Though he's not the easiest to read, just to be honest, even for this Canadian guy. But he just the content, the richness of what he writes is just really, really cool. Really, really deep stuff.
Yeah,
it's really good. There's a lot of authors out there. I would really encourage people to, you know, talk to other people in the community, ask them if they've read this book or that book, and be honest, be very discerning as you read. There's a lot of wolves and sheep's clothing out there.
Yeah, that's true.
And ultimately, I would really like to see our young people, our second generation pastors, to really get through the Bible at least twice a year. At least twice a year. And they can do, I mean, seriously, you got these kids studying their SATs for how many hours a week, knowing this amount of vocabulary. You got these older kids doing their GREs, MCATs, all this stuff, and their coursework. They can do it. I think it's no problem for them. I really hope that there's, once again, a resurgence, not in Reformed theology, although I love Reformed theology, the bias here, but just a real, real resurgence in terms of people really hitting the Word of God hard and saying, hey, this is what the Bible says.
Yeah.
Not just about this thing in society, but this is what the Bible says about the Bible.
What Scripture says.
And then you get that mindset of Scripture. And so when you look on society, you know automatically what God's heart would be. Because you have the Word of God inside your heart, right? It's shaping your mind. I hope that our young people can get to that place.
It's not letting culture to interpret scripture. But it's an opposite.
Yes.
Let the scripture interpret culture.
Yes.
I love that. That's beautiful. Wow. That's great. Well, Pastor Jacob, thanks so much for your time. I appreciate your ministry. I appreciate your passion and vision. And I'm very excited about what God is doing already through your ministry and what God is going to do.
Thank you.
Well, thanks so much for participating in these episodes, and we'll love to see you again in another episode. Thank you.